Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to Mind Mastery and Manifestation. So today we have another amazing interview for you. Joan and I got connected. To us, felt maybe accidental, but, you know, not much accident in the universe. And from the moment we started talking, we realized that we have so much in common and really just have an incredible time talking about everything from spirituality to brain science to coaching to everything. And Joan's been around this industry for far longer than maybe I've been alive. So she's an incredible resource with this beautiful energy. And I know that you're going to get a ton from her and are just going to love this conversation, because Joan Sotkin helps entrepreneurs and practitioners experience freedom from struggle personally, professionally, and financially. And she is the expert when it comes to understanding how emotions learned in early childhood can affect a person's business and financial outcomes. Thousands have benefited from her groundbreaking book, Build Your Money Muscles. Thousands have benefited from her groundbreaking book, Build Your Money Muscles. Her podcast, The Prosperity Show, and her unique holistic style of coaching. So without further ado, Joan, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here. I'm so glad we connected. It's been fabulous.
Same here. Just every conversation is just so much fun. And I'm so excited about this conversation because your direction now, you know, you've been helping people a ton with money and mindset. And it's interesting, you know, money's a very sensitive subject for everybody, right? That's like the one thing that can revolutionize or destroy or build a person's world. But there's also one other subject that it's everywhere. You can't even live a day without having this thing come across your field. And it is just as powerful in people's lives as money. And so it's a beautiful thing to talk about in terms of understanding why people do what they do, the decisions that they make, and also why they get the results that they get in their lives. And that topic is sex. So how did you get in there, and what's your angle on sex?
All right. Well, let me give you some background. For a long time, I have recognized the similarities between those two topics, aside from the fact that they're the two things that we think about most and never talk about. And so there must be something really special about these things that we don't talk about it, yet we think about all the time. So I realized that both money and sex are energies that we use to interact with the external world. And so, I mean, 30 years ago, I gave a talk at a corporation called Using Your Inner Resources to Maximize Sales. I learn when I talk. For some reason, I got to say it out loud before I see something. And I realized that dating is like sales. Sales is like dating. You know, do you come here often? You know, and you do a little background and you qualify them a little bit. Well, have you done la, la, la? And the orgasm is when you say, sign here, please. And they do. And now that I understand brain science, I realize that they're both dopamine things where you're going after something that you expect to be pleasurable. And when they sign on the line, boom, you get a dopamine hit. And it's the dopamine that motivates us in so many areas of our life. It also can cause problems. Dopamine, I'm learning, is such a complicated neurotransmitter. So that's at the base of the connection between money and sex. But I've also come to see that the same emotions that we act out through money are acted out through sex. So the five main feelings, do you want me to go into this now or you want to know
how?
Jump
into it. It'd
okay, yeah, because my story is such a long story, you don't want to bother with that. I've been around a long time. So the five main feelings that people act out through their money are aloneness, shame, anger, deprivation, and a sense of being trapped. And I go into this in my book, Build Your Money Muscles. And what I've added to that is something that we need to recognize, particularly with both sex and money, which is longing, which is part of the aloneness. I mean, if you didn't get your needs met when you were a kid, then longing became one of your habits. I want mommy to touch me. I want daddy to recognize me. And it's just a habit. And the main theory of my work is based on there's nothing wrong with you that needs fixing. You've never done anything wrong. That you have habits, thinking, believing, and feeling habits that developed early in childhood. And they are what determine how you make your decisions. And once you understand that, then you can say, okay, which element in this equation do I want to change? Got it?
Okay.
Okay, so first of all, our money relationships are really screwed up. People have terrible relationships with money, and it doesn't matter how much money you have. People who don't make a lot of money think that people who have a lot of money have this great relationship with money. It's not true. And it's very clear that particularly in America, I don't know how it is in all the other countries, but in America, we have a terrible relationship with sexuality. Our Puritan background, which is where we come from, is terrible. And so all the things we're not supposed to do and we want to do, it causes this internal struggle that has to be acted out in some way. And it's not just boys, it's girls too. Although I'm seeing now how different it is for boys and girls. I mean, when I'm talking to people about this now, I can ask, I'm learning how to ask questions like, how much money do you earn? How often do you play with yourself? You know, they're the same thing. Because when you're playing with your money, you're playing with yourself in some way. Can you see that?
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense.
And but it's not, I don't think it's true that people who are really good in keeping track of their money are also very liberated sexually. I mean, this is going to take me a while to work out the whole thing. I just know it's there. And what I see now is a lot of people are sexually inhibited. That seems, you know, even though we talk, you know, we have women with boobs hanging out all over the place and guys in, with six packs. The funniest thing for me is pharmaceutical ads. Everybody in pharmaceutical ads are thin, good-looking, well-dressed, happy, and in relationship, and they have either a dog or a child, okay?
Sure.
No one who's obese uses these drugs, evidently. So it must be a risk factor to be thin, good-looking, and in relationship. So we really have to look at, you know, that feeling of trapped. Do you get a lot of people saying, I feel stuck?
Sure.
Okay. Well, what is that? What do you see that is?
So I interpret that. And that, by the way, is a really big term. So it could mean a lot of different things.
Right.
But a common theme between them to me is the feeling of no good options.
Okay. Okay.
So they might not know what to do in order to make things better, or they have a lot of options that might make things better, but for one reason or another, they discount them, they reject them, or they can't take action on them.
Okay.
So it leaves them with no good options.
Okay. So for me, people who are trapped have no idea who they are. And they're trapped in the platform that has been laid out for them. Mm-hmm. I was born in 1940. That's a long time ago. And girls weren't supposed to be something other than a nurse or a teacher. And the advice I got was to get married and have children. Well, I tried the marriage thing a couple of times, and that was not my idea of a good time because I was expected to behave in a certain way. And I'm not crazy about cooking, you know, or cleaning. I would have been very happy being the husband. So from early on, when I was in my 20s, I did go to college as a chemistry major and discovered I wasn't the one they were looking for. So I switched to something else. But in your early 20s, you have no idea what defining yourself really means. Although now they have life coaches who are in their 20s, so it's obviously changing. But sure. So I had no choice but to do what was laid out for me, even though my family's, we're all a little nuts, so we always were a little out there and different. So I couldn't have said to you, I feel stuck. I had no feeling vocabulary at that point. And so I just kept searching. And I realize now, I mean, here I am at 79 years old, and I'm just getting the idea who I am. But I also see how all those wounds, not only financially, but sexually, kept me stuck because I had all this programming in my head. It wasn't religious programming because that can do the same thing. It was my mother saying, never sleep with a guy before you get married, because if you do, he's going to have all those things to hold over your head. So wow. The first guy I slept with, I got married, and on the honeymoon, I knew I was in the wrong place. And I got married in my junior year in college. That's what things people used to do. Now it's wonderful. People are waiting longer and they know what questions to ask and they have much more awareness. You know, coming from the generation, I'm as old as your grandmother probably,
A touch older than my parents, actually.
Huh?
A touch older than my parents. My parents had me. I'm the youngest in my family.
Okay. So. But there are grandparents. I mean, I'm two generations up. Sure. And so for me, it's been a lot of exploring. So in my second marriage, it was what you could call sexually abusive because he got us into swinging and wife swapping and, you know, nice Jewish girl from Paterson, New Jersey. It's like, what is this? You know, this was in the 1970s. Okay. So now it's no big deal. But then it was like weird. And there were a number of places in California where we were living where we would walk around naked, you know, and okay. So I learned how to do that. So I had a problem putting together the so-called sexual freedom and my background, okay? So I realized, and I felt wounded because he was playing around with everybody else and I had to watch, and that wasn't fun. It wasn't fun for me. And I was too codependent to say, I don't want to do this. That was a whole nother element, you know? I was brought up, husband's in charge, you know, and even though I didn't really believe that, and I had been working in Hollywood, it left scars. And so I didn't realize how repressed I had become, because before that I wasn't, and suddenly I am. And it's only recently, something amazing happened to me. I just traced back the date. It was in the beginning of August of this year. And I have to move over a little bit. My goal has always been to never let money determine how I feel and to not worry. And I reached a point last August where I absolutely reached that point. It was this moment of stillness. And, you know, my theory is there's a globe turning in a clockwise direction. And when it turns in the opposite direction, there's a moment of stillness before it changes direction. Tiny little moment of stillness. But it's there, and I felt I had reached that moment. And that was in August, and here we are, months later, and I still can't worry. When I wake up in the middle of the night, where I used to wake up and I had to process emotions, I'm now having these incredible visions of the future. And I mean, there's no more worry. I really see how if you don't worry and you don't push, it really does fall into place. And the strange thing, and my life is like accelerating in another direction. And I noticed as that happened, I started feeling much more sexually aroused. I mean, I thought that was really amazing. And so, you know, people worry a lot about money, which is about our energy. Mm-hmm. And when you worry about money, that's going to shut down the energy flow through your system. Can you see that?
Sure.
Okay. And sexual expression is about energy flow. So once you recognize this, and so I'm amazed. It's like, you know, when you're clearing an emotion like shame, you can spend days having shame come up and, oh, it's never going to end. And this rush of new energy that's coming up, I'm having a good time because I'm trying a little bit of everything. And at this age, it's kind of odd to be waking up again in that dimension. So what do you do with it? You know, it's like there are no instructions. You know, I mean, our sex education and, I mean, therapists, the ones I've been to, never said to me, how's your sex life? It's as if, I mean, all the business coaches, they don't say, how's your sex life? They don't even ask, how well are you managing your cash flow? You know, those are the two things. And cash flow and sexual energy are definitely related.
It makes a ton of sense to me as well, because, you know, just looking from a sort of neuropsychological standpoint, when there are, let's say, a lot of money stresses, right, that puts a lot of pressure on places like your amygdala, right? So what I usually teach is that, to keep things simple, is that there are two parts of your brain and nervous system. Your survival areas and performance areas. They act like a seesaw. So the more one is activated, the less the other one is. Yeah. So the more your amygdala is activated, which is one of the biggest, you know, it's like the leader of the survival parts of your brain, super important. But the more it's active, the less energy you have going into things like bonding, into, you know, that comes from your limbic region that gets totally screwed up when your amygdala starts firing like crazy, or self-awareness and the ability to really view yourself positively as well, coming from your prefrontal cortex, that gets shut down the more your amygdala gets activated. So on a scientific level, it makes a lot of sense that the more pressure you have is coming from, you know, money is one of the greatest pressures we feel in society today, right? So the biggest source of pressure, if that comes in and causes chaos in your life, creating fear or hurt or worry or whatever, then it makes sense. It shuts down the parts of your brain that control bonding or fun or love or
pleasure,
connection.
Pleasure of any kind.
Pleasure.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the dopamine. You know,
totally.
So in my world, whatever you're worried about with money has nothing to do with money. It's like when you look at your bank balance and you're saying to yourself, oh my God, look at my bank balance. Why can't I earn any more? And Joe Schmo earns more than I do. And what's the, it's not about money. It's about your self-image. It's about your shame. And that's why I think it's so important to understand the emotions that you're acting out through your money. So if you feel shame about your financial position, that has nothing to do with money. It has to do with how you think of yourself, your personal energy flow. And so what I try to do is teach people to recognize what they're feeling about their money. And now I see I have to have the conversation with, you know, how's your sex life? And how do you feel about that? You know, and I'm amazed at how many people who are in relationships are not getting enough, and they're not and they feel that they don't have enough money either. And I mean, I have clients who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they still feel it like it's not enough. Well, they're probably not stubbing enough either, you know, well, to put it bluntly.
I love it. I mean, let's be transparent, right? So let's make this even more practical for people, because I think that they might be, you know, there might be a lot of questions now thinking like, okay, well, how can I look at my money behaviors and see, how is it about me specifically? How is it about shame? How can I look at my relationship with money and see that it actually is about me, when someone is looking at it like, no, it's not about me. I just don't have enough money. My job doesn't pay me enough, or I have too many bills. How does this have anything to do with me?
Okay, so when I'm working with people and we talk, first of all, I have a questionnaire so I can get an idea how, you know, how they feel about their money just from the pre-session questionnaire I put out. And some of the answers don't look like they're talking about money, but I know they're talking about money. And I ask them, do you sometimes feel ashamed when you think about your money? So the system that I use is recognize, release, replace, and repeat. It's based on brain science. So what are you feeling? And most people do not have a really good feeling vocabulary, which is why they're in trouble. So I just ask them to tell me whether they feel contracted or expanded. And can they recognize where in their body they feel contracted? And it's usually in the chest or in the abdomen or in the shoulders. And then I tell them to take a deep breath and imagine that they're expanding. But before, and as part of that process, we say, what are you feeling? When have you felt it before? Mm. And to me, that is the important part, so that when I ask that question, they'll often go back to something in high school. And I'll say, well, earlier than that, and earlier than that. And if it's something like shame, I'll say, was your mother ashamed of who she is? Because when your mother was pregnant with you, you're learning your mother's feelings and her behaviors when you're in her belly. And it, so many women were shamed. I mean, it's part of the male dominance. Women in different religions, look at in Judaism and in Muslims, women are just, you know, in the kitchen taking care of the guys, you know? That's why I never liked being married. You know, I don't want to be taking care of the guys. You know, sure. And in return, you get they earn the money, and then you gotta do this ridiculous stuff. And so, when you say, "When have I felt it before?" and it's amazing how this works. I have a friend whose mother died when he was 7. Very successful, was a construction supervisor, big project. But you know, I'm very intuitive, so I can feel where people are. And I know problems he's having now are related to the fact that he never fully dealt with his mother's death. And so having him recognize when he felt abandoned and alone, and he had no way of dealing with the grief. In those days, they just didn't do that. And to re-experience what you felt as a child, that is the release, because emotions get stuck in your body. They're actually, you know, those neurotransmitters are creating the situation in your body, and emotions by their nature have to be expressed. So when you get someone to feel it in their body and then express it, in whatever way they can. What I usually do is have people make the sound of the feeling. Mm. You know, like, and you know, people will go, no. And so I'll tune into where they are, and I'll make the feeling with them. And that sound is part of the release process. Then I ask the question, now this can happen over a series, over time. I say, what would you rather be feeling? And they'll say to me, well, I don't know. I'll suggest, do you want to feel satisfied? Yeah, do you know how to feel satisfied? And it's amazing how many people say, I've never felt satisfied. And we're talking about money problems now. And we're talking about sexual problems now. Because if you don't know how to feel satisfied, when you're working with these basic elements of our society, you're not going to feel satisfied. So I have to teach people how to feel satisfied. So I work totally on this level. And you know, when I work with business people, we also talk about managing your money and that sort of thing, because it's all intertwined. And the more you let yourself out of your self-imposed jail, which is what feeling stuck is all about, the better you are at knowing who you are, feeling who you are. And now that I'm playing with the sexual stuff, boy, when you can really feel that energy inside of you, that's dopamine, which is the motivator. And it really makes a difference for our outcomes.
I think it does. And I want to highlight a few things here that I think are really very, very important. And just for the audience, just to really get, because you just dropped some very profound things here. And the way that you say it sounds so natural and easy that people can gloss by it. So I really want to focus in on it.
Okay.
One thing here is that your process begins with feeling your feelings.
Yes.
Identifying your feelings and feeling them, because both money and sex are used very often to cover things up.
Absolutely.
In our society today. You know, oh, I'm feeling a little insecure. Well, I'll make a hell of a lot of money. I'll feel great. You know, I'm feeling ugly. I'll go have some sex. I'll feel sexy again, right? Shit's going wrong in my life. I'll go get money. I'll go have sex. It's like our drugs.
Right. And because of the dopamine, it's never enough.
Right.
I mean, there's a book I just read, The Molecule of More. I mean, that's the signature of dopamine. You like it, honey? Well, go get some more. <You know? laughs> Sure. Was that a good banana? Go get another banana. I mean, it's our survival. And yes, I can't believe that so many business coaches don't deal with the emotions, because it's the emotions that affect every decision that you make.
Absolutely. And you have to feel them. Mm-hmm. In order to know, like you said, to know who you are and yes. to know why are you making the decisions. Like if you're in a place you don't like, it's because you've made decisions that have brought you there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And until you get a grip of like, well, how did you make those decisions and how you make different decisions, which means you have to know the emotions that led you to them, then that's how you do get stuck and, you know, trapped, like you said. And so I love that you start with, you know, what's beneath these feelings? What is, you know, if there's shame, and by the way, for anybody who wants a definition of shame, it is just the feeling that who you are is fundamentally wrong. That is shame. And so, for example, women growing up in the 40s may have this thing when women aren't supposed to have money. What are you doing with money? You know, that's not your place. And so they might develop a money story around that shame.
And women are less valuable than men.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. So you're not supposed to be, you know, making the same as a man. And all these other stories can come from that, but right. around sex as well.
Yes.
Which is,
yes, it's
what
okay.
is your role?
It's okay for men to screw around, but women shouldn't be doing that.
Right. Or who needs to be the aggressor? Who's
right. yes.
allowed to yes. want sex
yes.
more?
Right. Right.
right. And that also, when you're allowing yourself to feel those feelings around both sex and money and trace them back like you're guiding your clients to, when you heal around the beginning of, and it's very similar, by the way, to some of the work that I do with my clients, bring them back to the original moment where they created the story for themselves, and then allowing themselves to create a different story that evaporates the shame, then all of a sudden we have growth and we have a deeper connection with who you are.
Right. And I now talk about, what was your mother feeling? What was your father feeling? Because those are the things you learned to feel. It became part of you. And for me, it's important for people to see that these are just their feelings. It's not who they are. That these are just habits that they developed and learned from early childhood. And to take the shame away from having feelings. I mean, in our culture, particularly for men, and a lot of my clients are men, they have no idea how to be something other than angry and hurt, you know, and there's a whole lot of range between angry and hurt. And what I see happening is that once they can even do one little release, like making the sound of the feeling, there's a sense of liberation. This year, I like to have a theme on my podcast. And the first year, I think it was the courage to be you and I, you know, stuff like that. So this year is the courage to be free. And what I see happening to me, as I allow myself to acknowledge the sexual part of me, even at this age, that I feel so liberated, I can't tell you. I have nothing to worry about. I know that whatever I need will be there. Now, what I want and what I need may not be the same thing. I have to trust that my higher self knows what I need to learn today. And I have come to truly believe that whatever we're going through is what we need to become who we're becoming. And so I've learned to accept whatever is happening as okay. And so few people know how to feel satisfied with who they are and what they have. I mean, it's like over-earner. People who have to have one more million just to be happy. And when they get the one more million, they want that next banana. You know, it's the dopamine. In other words, we have these primitive brains that were designed for survival. Well, we don't need the same skills anymore. So when you eat properly and sleep well and meditate regularly and do your exercise and do these things, you get more control over your vehicle. And if you take care of this vehicle that you are riding around in, you're going to have a much better life.
Absolutely. And there it's also, you know, you're bringing up the idea of learning how to appreciate what you have already, mm-hmm. to break that dopamine addiction cycle. Mm-hmm. Because I think that there's a strong misconception out there that people think that gratitude is something that happens to them. You know, they're waiting for something that makes them feel grateful or to celebrate. It's really interesting where a lot of my clients, I'll tell them like, hey, when's the last time you celebrated something that you did? And they go, no, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the right time. And people do the same thing. I'm waiting for the right thing to happen so that I can feel happy. I'm waiting for the right thing to make me satisfied, instead of looking at these things as skills, as muscles to build, to learn how to appreciate the money that they have, to learn how to appreciate the sex that they get, right? Or the attention or the love.
And
or whatever.
who they are. Sure. You know, I used to have a really hot body. And well, I'm 79 years old. And even though I'm in good shape, I don't look naked the same as I did before. So I have to, now I'm doing this on a daily basis, where I look in the mirror when I'm naked, and I see how wonderful this is, that this 79-year-old woman who used to be sick and uncomfortable, and I know it's not my 29-inch waist that's keeping me at a relationship. So, you know, I see pictures of people on the swinging seat and everything. It's definitely not my 29-inch waist. And so you have to make the decision to appreciate yourself.
Yes.
And to not compare yourself to anyone else. And not take anything personally.
Yeah.
I mean, and these are all habits. These are just the habits that you can train yourself. Now, if you make the habit, if you say to yourself, well, I'm gonna get to like myself and I'm not going to take anything personally. In this day and age, everybody wants it to happen today. Well, it's not going to happen today. It may not happen for 5 years. You have to do it every single day until it changes. It's like, I don't have any negative self-talk in my head anymore. It's an amazing thing. I did all this shooting on myself for years, and I was suicidal depressive. You think that's a happy camper? You know that that's not, because you were there too.
Exactly. You know? It's not a great place to be.
And so, you know, I'd hear myself doing shoulds with myself, and I would say to myself, thank you for sharing, but we don't talk that way anymore. And every time I heard myself saying something that was negative to myself, I would just say, thank you for sharing, but we don't talk that way anymore. And then I had my favorite saying, Joni's a good girl and can have whatever she wants. And since I like applause, I would clap my hands and say, Joni's a good girl and can have whatever she wants.
I love that.
So you have to recognize, what's going on, which is just a neural pathway in your brain, and you have to replace that neural pathway with another one. And it gets, you go through what I call the moving stupids. The moving stupids is when you move from one house to another, you really want to be in the new house, but you get really stupid. You don't know where anything is. You bump into walls. You lose your wallet. You lose your keys. Everything seems to be falling apart. That's because your brain doesn't know whether to go to the old neural pathways or the new neural pathways. So you get disoriented. That's the moving stupids. And you have to stop and say, oh, I have the moving stupids. So when you try to give up things in consciousness, like not talking to yourself as if you were worthless, you're going to get the moving stupids. And because your amygdala, it's all brain science. If the amygdala is going, this is dangerous because we have no idea what the outcome is going to be. So why don't we go back to picking on ourselves again? No, we're not going to do that. Thank you for sharing. And it's this, you know, if you really want to change, people want their lives to change, but they don't want to change.
Sure.
And so my thing is to help people understand how to change and how not to be afraid of the change. And to me, that's the value of coaches, is that they can hold your hand while you're going through the process.
And coaches also, I think, do something very important, and you touched on this real briefly, is they give the permission to have what you want and to want what you want. And it is really interesting. It touches in on that shame that we were talking about earlier, of people thinking that their money desires or sexual desires are wrong. And honestly, in my point of view, as long as you cause no suffering, it's fine. Like, whatever, polyamory, fine. It used to be a big sin. Now people are exploring it, and it's becoming a much more, it's not accepted yet, but it is, you know, the acceptance for it is increasing. And the same thing with money. It's okay to want it. It's right. Okay to want a lot of it. It's okay to not want it.
Okay,
you know,
but
some people have that shame around that too.
I think it's a good idea to find out why you want a lot of it.
Yes,
if
absolutely.
If you think a lot of money is going to fix your life, you're wrong.
Right, exactly.
You want to get to where you're rich internally, where mm-hmm. you feel rich. You know, people used to say, well, act as if. So they'd go out and spend a lot of money because that's what they would do if they had a lot of money.
<laughs> You know?
That's not acting as if. Acting as if is, how would you feel? When I had no money at all, at one point in my life, I had given away everything I owned and I went wandering for a couple of years. And I was in California for part of the journey. And I would go to Rodeo Drive, which is where all the fancy schmancy stores are. I had one outfit of clothing and this really old clunker. And I'd go shopping at these hoity-toity stores and behave as if I belonged there. And
nice.
Because there are a lot of crazy people who happen to be wealthy, the salespeople would treat me like I belonged there. I would get to try on all these lovely clothes, and I would just behave as if I belonged there. That's acting as if. When you act as if the person you're becoming. Because then you have to feel the feelings and think like a wealthy person. And then you may find out, as I did, that the money's not going to fix anything.
It's just
a bunch of numbers on a ledger, And it's not how you measure your superiority. It's the wealthier you become internally, the less you care what other people think of you.
By the way, you know, for anybody listening as well, we're talking about wealth here. Now it's becoming even more a question of true abundance, not just wealth money, but wealth in terms of looking inward and seeing a wealth of love and patience and balance and peace. True abundance incorporates everything, not just money, but it also includes sex. So when you look in there, you have that, like, damn, I'm sexy kind of thing. Even if right now you're alone and haven't gotten laid in a while, it doesn't matter. It's that whole thing of being able, like you said, you look in the mirror and you say, I don't care. I think I'm hot. And that's just what it is. And it changes things for you.
And you can make decisions. Like, I noticed years ago that old people, now I'm considered elderly. But when people meet me, they have no idea how old I am because I don't look it. I don't behave it. And I realize that old people have stiff bodies, and they walk stiff. So every morning I do stretches and move my body around. I mean, you have to keep it going. You have to lubricate the joints. Sure. And so this is all about decisions. Who do you want to be? I have not eaten sugar since August 11th, 1973. Whew. Because the doctor said to me, if you stop eating sugar, you won't be depressed anymore. And I have not eaten sugar since. And so I don't have a lot of inflammation. I don't measure my wealth by my bank account. I measure it by how much peace of mind I have. And I don't know many people who can say they don't have negative self-talk, that they don't worry about anything, that they don't let their money determine how they feel. You can't buy that for me, but I can show you how to do it.
I love that. And how do people find you, Joan? How can they get in touch with you so that they can learn this stuff from you?
Well, first of all, I'm the only Joan Sotkin in the entire world, so you can trip over me at any place you want.
Oh, that helps. That makes it
Google,
easy.
Google is my friend. Just say Joan Sotkin. But prosperityplace.com is where I hang out, and my podcast is The Prosperity Show.
Love it. Love it, love it. Joan, it's, again, so much fun, and the time it's just gone. It's ridiculous. We're going to have to find something or just do more of these.
I would love that. I had this image last night when I was having these visions of the future, and there are some people I just connect to, and I talk to every couple of weeks, and we're starting to do things together, because on the bottom line of the emotions is feeling connected. I think that is what we really crave, is feeling connected. And I, can do a whole bunch of stuff on feeling connected and touched and how that allows you to make more money. Because at the base of everything is how you're feeling.
Yep. I love it. Well, Joan, I've felt connected to you the moment we started chatting, and I know people listening are feeling the same. So if you even got a momentary urge to reach out to Joan, do yourself a favor and do it. Just chat with her, see what's going on, pick her brain. As you can tell, she's an open book and just this incredible light. So reach out to Joan. See what she's got to offer, and get really, really wealthy and have tons of sex. Right?
Or one or the other. You know, it depends upon it. You don't have to do everything all at once. You'll run
no,
out
no,
of,
it's okay. Yeah, you can choose.
You'll run out of dopamine.
Yeah, you don't want to blow up. So, Joan, thank you so very much for spending this time with me today. I had a blast.
All right. And I really appreciate being able to share with your audience. I really love this.
Beautiful. Well, guys, thank you for spending this time with us. And if you really enjoyed this episode or the podcast in general, do me a big favor. Go to iTunes, leave a review or 5 stars. Or if you're listening to this on your phone, take a screenshot, put it in your stories and tag me so that I know that you're getting something out of this. Tag Joan too. And go check out her podcast, leave her reviews and stars and all that good stuff. And we will see you at the very next episode. Take care.